Let's have your basic double-barrel duck conversation, eye on the footballers and women's basketball team. The connection comes courtesy of the fine writer for the Register Guard on Twitter, the handle at @by_RyanThorburn. Ryan, how are you and your family doing during let's call it, the madness of 2020?
We are doing great, and we appreciate the Van Halen walk-up music.
If you were a cleanup hitter, that would be on your list?
It would definitely be on my list. I already had a lot of respect for Kyle Whittingham, but when he started his virtual Pac-12 Media Day with a ode to Eddie Van Halen, I liked him even more.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome. So the women, 2-0, towards Seattle, built a 12-point halftime lead Monday, then blew Portland out of the water in the second half. I want to kind of throw the spotlight on Sedona Prince, because you hear about a player, how they're practicing, what the coaches say. Terry Johns told me how much better she made Ruthie Hebert last year. But seeing her play now, I mean, just looking down the road, I mean, a mega talent and the kind of force she could be.
Absolutely. I just can't wait to see what nickname Oregon comes up with for her, because she's, you know, in that category, you know, goat, unicorn. This is another person who is just somebody that is unique with her size, her skill set, her personality. I think she's going to be a star at Oregon, maybe already is becoming that right now. I think she can, if she stays healthy, I think she can lead Oregon to more Pac-12 championships. She's just a really unique player. I mean, Kelly has compared her to Luka. He's compared her to Patrick Ewing. I mean, she's, she's a unique women's basketball player, and it's not just the size. I mean, she has the, we haven't seen it yet, but he said she can hit threes. She has the fadeaway. He'd like her to block more shots and be more of a beast, he said, in the paint. That's something she can still work on, but really, Oregon fans have to be excited about Sedona Prince finally being cleared to play for this team.
Yeah, I'm hooked already. I thought your post-game article was spot on. I think the tendency is you see Erin Boley scores 25 points and you think, wow, I bet she hit a lot of threes. Turn out she made two. You know, 9 of 14 inside the arc, 9 rebounds. Easy to say, but that speaks volumes about her work. And I guess, Ryan, understanding what else the team needs from her as she's one of the leaders now.
Yeah, as I kind of touched on in the article that you mentioned last year, you know, when you have Sabrina and Ruthie doing their pick and roll, you have Satu hitting threes or driving to the rim. You know, Boley basically could just stand in the corner or wherever her spot is and wait for the defense to collapse on everyone else and knock down threes all afternoon long on those nights when the defense isn't focused on her. But now that she is the focus, she has to do a bunch of different things, including being a team leader, but also, you know, driving to the basket, getting more rebounds than she has ever before, and then still knocking down those threes. And she seems to hit timely threes. I thought, you know, coming out of halftime at Portland, this is a team that, you know, this is a big deal for them to have Oregon there. They won the West Coast Conference Tournament last year. They have a lot of returning players. They were playing hard. But when Boley started knocking down those threes and just started the run, it was pretty much over.
Lastly, on hoops, I know we're just getting started, and we saw her sister, you mentioned the unicorn, leave as the second pick in the WNBA draft. We never got to see Satu and her sister, Niara, but she's played, what, a total of 24 minutes, already scored 22 points, 13 rebounds. Seeing her in action the first time, I mean, what about the upside to her game and the skill set she possesses?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of twin towers, triple towers, really. I mean, her and Lydia Diomi have both, you know, I think they both had about 9 points and 6 rebounds the other night in very limited minutes. So, yeah, I think completely different player than her older sister. You know, obviously with the knee injuries, maybe not quite as athletic as she would have been otherwise, but a different player. I think someone who's going to be a force in the paint alongside Sedona. It'd be interesting to see, you know, once they play some higher caliber teams, some longer teams, if Sedona and Yara will be up there at the same time. That'll be fascinating. But certainly a great start for her and just a great story after overcoming two ACLs to be out there playing. You know, they didn't get the Hollywood story with her playing with Satu in the Final Four, but certainly if you're an Oregon fan, you got to like the possibility of having a Sabali out there for, you know, 6 to 7 years in a row.
Right. Let's get to football. We continue with Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard. Entering the season, you knew there was going to be a lot of variables, quarterback, offensive line, back end of the defense. I figured the front seven would kind of be the anchor. They got run on by UCLA's Demetric Felton. Then the Beavers' Jamar Jefferson ran wild. So in talking with the coaches and the players, kind of what's the word from the guys of, I guess, the level of frustration and maybe the fix?
Yeah, it's a real head-scratcher because, you know, I was at the Oregon State game, and you can see from the press box, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau shows up. He's chasing down ball carriers. You know, he's very noticeable. But Jordan Scott and Austin Fowler, two guys who came back to improve their skills to the NFL, have kind of, you don't notice them in these games. And we talked to Austin today, and he said, yeah, you know, I haven't put on film what I need to reach my goal of the NFL, and, you know, I only have a couple games left to do that. So it's puzzling that the defensive line, the interior of it, has struggled, because you're talking about a couple four-year starters that played at a high level last year on a championship defense. So it'll be interesting to see how they finish. You know, obviously losing Troy Dye and the opt-out guys hurts the defense. Troy Dye was always around the ball. Javon Holland was always around the ball. Brady Breeze had a knack for finding the ball and making huge turnovers. You know, I think you see that a little bit with Veron McKinley. You see flashes of brilliance, obviously, with Noah Sewell. But for whatever reason, and maybe it shouldn't be a surprise in a COVID year with considering the talent they lost, this defense just has not gelled yet.
You know, speaking of that, the overall performance of the offense, which has actually been kind of productive, and I know a lot of talk this week about limited snaps and they want more, but a new quarterback, new line, Micah Pittman barely on the field, the injuries at tight end, no spring ball. I know the coaches and players don't make excuses. I'm in the media. It doesn't matter. Was it logical to think, look, it was going to take time for all of this to gel anyway, and you throw in the challenges, like you mentioned, of 2020, and in some ways, maybe it makes a little sense?
Yeah, I think overall they're pretty happy with the offense. As you mentioned, they kind of thought this season they would have 80 plays a game. They have about, you know, 20 less than that. So it's hard to spread it to all the talent they have. They've done a pretty good job of spreading it around. You know, obviously they've been missing a list of tight ends and Micah Pittman, and they've got about two or three other running backs they'd like to get more action. But overall, I think they're pleased with the production. They lead the Pac-12 in points and yards, and Tyler Shuck leads the Pac-12 in passing and touchdowns. Of course, some of his competition haven't played the full slate, but I think the only disappointments really is, you know, it seems like Tyler makes one mistake a game that comes back to haunt him, obviously that second pick at Oregon State. And then that last drive, you've got to find a way to help your defense when it's struggling and get the first down and close out the win, and they didn't do that. So I think overall the production's good. They just need to tighten a few things up and help their defense win these last two regular season games.
A few final thoughts for Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard. One of the things you wrote about on Monday was who might be returning. You know, we talked about the tight ends, Pittman, C.J. Verdell can't contribute in the second half. There were a couple guys in the secondary, Jamal Hill, Nick Pickett. So as we sit here approaching Wednesday evening, I mean, what do you know about the status for sure of any of those guys?
Yeah, Mario didn't really give any updates today. He said it's looking good on all those guys, but we don't know quite yet, and we'll get that information to you guys when we can, which is code for get your binoculars out. but I do think they're getting close with Micah Pittman. I would expect him to be in the mix, which is exciting when you consider Devin Williams has done so well in his absence. So now you have four, and if you count the freshman Hudson, which you should, you have really five receivers that they really like. You know, if CJ's back, that's obviously good news. I think he will be looking to bounce back from a tough night in Corvallis. And then the tight ends, it sounds like Spencer Webb might be back. And then, you know, they've set Cam McCormick for weeks. So we'll have to believe that when we see it. The poor guy hasn't really played since the opener of 2018.
Well, I have a really nice set of binoculars. I don't think they're going to reach Berkeley. You know, in evaluating the Duck running game, I think you got to use a little bit of a split screen because what Tyler Shuck has done, but from a handoff to your back's point of view, you know, the numbers have been okay. And you mentioned there was a chance to kind of put that OSU game away. So overall, what are the coaches saying about how effective that part of the offense has been and perhaps knowing it does need to upgrade a bit?
Yeah, that's definitely a work in progress, and you can kind of understand with five new offensive linemen that would be a work in progress. I think there's probably some jealousy in addition to the agony when you look at how well Oregon State's offensive line manhandled Oregon's defensive line and obviously what Jamar Jefferson has been doing all season. That's kind of what Oregon likes to do, and now their rival has turned the tables on that. So, you know, it's a work in progress, but I think this offensive line has held its own under the circumstances and has a bright future together.
And lastly, for those of us who've been here since the early 90s, Cal kind of has that Duck feel. Justin Wilcox, Bill Musgrave, Peter Sermon. This is a new offense. You know, Musgrave uses a fullback. The defense had been pretty strong under Wilcox. Chase Garbers, you know, probably the most experienced quarterback Oregon has faced. And talking with the players and coaches, where do they see, I guess, the major challenges from Cal?
Still a lot of respect for Cal. You know, obviously Cal was picked second in the North. This was supposed to be their year, their breakthrough year, and it's just been the bad news Bears 2020 when you think about they had the Washington game, which was a huge home game canceled. They had an Arizona State game canceled. They played UCLA with no notice on the road and got smashed. And then these last two games, they had Oregon State a chance to beat them in Corvallis and had a bad turnover in the red zone, and then they lose to their bitter rival on a blocked extra point. I mean, whatever could go wrong has gone wrong for Wilcox this year, but I'm pretty confident he'll be able to keep them motivated to try to beat his alma mater for the first time, and they still have those talented pieces that everyone was excited about. It's been 2020 big time for them.
Yeah, I like the bad news Bears 2020. I may be using that the rest of the week. Folks, he's Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard. Again, on Twitter, use the handle @by_RyanThorburn. Ryan, always appreciate your time, insight, fun stuff. Be well, be safe, be sane. And obviously, I always look to catch up with you down the road.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.
All right, have a good one.